Set your course for the Huff
Takes Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to Hoth Takes. We have another great episode here for you. I'm Grace Seegers.
And I'm Eric Geller.
So unfortunately for us and pod listeners, our co-host Haley Bird Wilt is still on maternity leave, which is fortunately for her because taking care of her new baby son is a very exciting and wonderful thing to do and just slightly more important than Star Wars. I know, shocking, but it's true. So we have a great episode planned for you today. We're going to be talking about one of Star Wars's most thorny and controversial issues, which is Jedi and attachment and the relationship that the Jedi have with ideas of attachment and with relationships themselves. So I think this is a really fun topic because you see again and again in Star Wars that attachment is forbidden, but there's a lot of interpretation as to what the Jedi mean by attachment, because obviously there are a lot of really important key relationships in a Jedi's life, and that starts with the Master and Padawan relationship, and that is fundamental to a Jedi's growth and understanding of the universe, and that is obviously an attachment. So I kind of want to start by investigating what the Jedi mean exactly by attachment, and you know, whether it really is that attachment is forbidden. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that, Eric.
Well, I think you're right that it's a nuanced question of what they mean. My understanding of what they mean really is a connection to a person that causes you to lose sight of your mission. So, you know, being close to your master, for example, I don't necessarily think violates their rules because you're forming a bond that is really built around your mission and your mutual responsibility to serve the light side. We certainly see many Jedi who are very close to each other in a professional context, have also something on top of that, which is kind of father-son, father-daughter, whatever the case may be, kind of analog in their relationship in terms of the older and more mature person helping the younger person, not just with learning how to lift rocks, but learning how to exist in the world, learning how to come to grips with this power that they have. And there's an analogy there to the way that we in the real world have people who have more experience help younger people learn not how to use magical powers, but how to do all kinds of mundane things, and then also how to grapple with things like love and marriage and death and things that are not mundane, things that are very emotionally fraught. And so we see that in Star Wars. We see Jedi adopting those kinds of roles, and I don't necessarily know that we see the Jedi frowning on it. What we do see is fixation being frowned on. If I had to redefine attachment and use a different word that's a little bit less vague, I would say fixation is really what they're concerned about, right? I mean, you know, Anakin is kind of the classic example of this, and it's not just with Ahsoka, his Padawan, although there are certainly situations where Obi-Wan and others are disappointed in how fixated he is on Ahsoka and, you know, her well-being, things like that. It's also the case, you know, even without the benefit of the knowledge of their secret relationship, the Jedi are concerned about Anakin's fixation on Padme. There's a scene in Attack of the Clones where she falls off of the gunship, and Anakin and Obi-Wan have a brief argument about whether to go back and get her. And Obi-Wan wins by saying, she would want you to do your job. And that's an example of a person who, you know, for Obi-Wan, it's clear in that instant what he has to do. Got to continue with the mission. He likes Padme. He's friends with Padme, even though he doesn't generally like politicians. But he knows what to do. Anakin doesn't. For Anakin, there's a real question there of how important is the mission versus how important is Padme? And that's obviously complicated by the fact that they're in love. But I think a person like Anakin might have that same question about somebody that he's just very good friends with, right? If his best platonic friend fell out of that gunship, you know, Obi-Wan accepted because he's important for the mission. But if somebody else did, I think he might have a similar problem because his whole deal is he doesn't have that prioritization right, or at least if you define right as what the Jedi want. So that's kind of a long way of saying I think what they're really talking about is fixation, not so much connection.
I think that's a really good point. And before I move on with what I was going to say, what you were talking about just reminded me of this funny meme I saw on Reddit recently. That was that scene from Attack of the Clones where Obi-Wan's like, you should do your job. And then the reply is, well, actually, looking after Padme was my job. So by going back to protect her, I'm actually doing my job. So
I love that meme.
It's just great. It's just very entertaining. But no, I think that that's a really good point. And to bring it back to Attack of the Clones, which I have defended before, there is a line in the movie where Padme and Anakin are talking and she's like, but love is forbidden, right? And he says something like, love itself is not forbidden. And that compassion, which he would define as unconditional love, is actually really important to the Jedi mission. And I think that's an important point because in a lot of ways, love is actually a key part of connecting with the light side of the Force, being able to see others and empathize with them and feel with them is an important way to connect. And it's an important part of the Jedi mission as a whole. But I think it's that when that love becomes a fixation or like a possession, a possessive love, that's when you get to the dangerous point. Because if you are thinking about someone or something possessively, that means that you won't be willing to let it go when the time comes. And that it leads to, I mean, to paraphrase Yoda, like fear leads to hate, or fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate leads to suffering, something like that.
That's it. Yep.
That you start traveling down that road when you become fixated on something and when your love becomes more possessive and more obsessive. So another thing, another little nuance that I want to talk about, though, is that any kind of attachment is often seen as a bit of a slippery slope. Like, as soon as you become attached to someone, even if it's, you know, the normal master-Padawan relationship, then there's this idea that it's automatically going to result in some complications. And I'm just thinking, even in The Mandalorian recently in season 2, Ahsoka tells Mando, like, Grogu is attached to you and sees you as a father, and that's a bad thing. It's like, is it a bad thing? He's a literal baby. Like, that's a child. Is it a bad thing that he's looking at his protector with that kind of love and respect? And I think the same situation goes for young Anakin with Qui-Gon and then with Obi-Wan, or with any Padawan, really. Like, is it a bad thing for a child to look upon their master, the only parental figure they have, with that kind of lens? So I kind of wanted to talk about the sort of thorny issue there of, is attachment automatically going to lead you down that path, or were the Jedi too strict about that?
Yeah, I think this comes back to what I think Ahsoka was getting at there, which is, yes, he's a baby, and so it's to be expected that he would not necessarily be disciplined enough yet to sort of master his emotions. And he's so young, he's imprinted on Mando. There's a certain vulnerability there that is naturally going to lead to an attachment. And I think that gets back to really what the Jedi are concerned about, which is when you haven't been able to school yourself to make those rational decisions about, okay, I have a strong bond with this person, but I serve the light side of the Force, and the light side of the Force is more important than this individual person. You know, taking the ultimate long view, which is very difficult when you have a person concretely standing in front of you who needs your help, or who could maybe just use your help, and you love that person, or you're very good friends with that person, and you have a strong inclination to want to help them. You know, you have to have extreme Jedi-level discipline to say, no, I'm going to serve the light side of the Force instead, which can often be very abstract. And I think really it is this idea of control. If you are a disciplined Jedi, you might be able to enter into certain situations and then extricate yourself from them in a responsible way. Whereas if you're young, if you're untrained, basically if you're Anakin Skywalker, that's going to be a lot more fraught because you don't have the tools to extricate yourself from that situation when necessary. And I'll just make one sort of, it's not a tangent, I guess, but to this question of control, I mentioned this in the last episode where we talked about where the Jedi went wrong. I really like how this new publishing initiative that Star Wars is doing right now called The High Republic is dealing with issues of love and attachment. And I like the way that they are having characters talk about what is actually problematic, because there's an implicit condemnation in this story, which is set about 200 years before the prequel trilogy. There's an implicit condemnation of the prequel era Jedi approach. And I just want to read a very short quote from a Jedi master in one of the books talking about the idea of emotions and attachments. Strong passions are something we try to control within ourselves. As emotions can cloud our judgment, especially in stressful situations, they can blind us to the truth and to the leading of the Force. That said, it would be foolish to suggest that a Jedi has no desires or interests. In fact, I would go so far as to say that it would be dangerous, leading only to complacency. Yes, I have a passion for learning and teaching. It is part of who I am. But I am also prepared to set such things aside at a moment's notice. My passions must never be greater than my mission. And so that is an example of a Jedi who understands the limits of passion and how much rein you can give to passion before you have to sort of cut it off and focus on the mission. And so I would just sort of, I would add that to this question of what are the Jedi really afraid of? It's really this idea that you're going to lose control. But I think I would argue that the prequel Jedi take it too far. They don't trust the members of the Order enough. They don't really treat things the way that this Jedi, who I just quoted, does, which is, if you're disciplined enough to know where to draw the line, it's not dangerous to let you pursue your passions, whether that is an activity or a relationship with a person. So that's what I would throw out there.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you brought that up, and that really is such an interesting encapsulation of the Jedi philosophy sort of at its best. But I'm glad you brought up our previous episode too, because as I was thinking about our discussion today, I was thinking about our last discussion, where I think you made the point that one of the problems that the Jedi had was that they were too focused on the future and what could happen. And I think that a good example of this is seen in their approach to attachments. So they look at young Anakin, they see, oh no, he's connected to his mom, which makes sense. And so that's going to be a slippery slope that will ultimately make him vulnerable to the dark side. And because they're focused on that potential future, they're not taking a look at, okay, well, how do we take care of this 9-year-old now? And I think that perhaps if their mind, if their collective mind was more focused on taking care of the problems that they had at hand and addressing the different needs of different people, that things could have turned out differently. And I think that Anakin is a really good example of this as well, because he shows how, you know, there are a variety of people in the galaxy who handle and process emotions in a myriad of ways. And it may not make sense to use the same approach for every single person, and particularly every kid that comes your way. And I think that if there had been a little bit more flexibility in general in the order, but in specific in how they looked at attachment and in how they looked at teaching children how to handle attachments, I think that things could have turned out differently and Anakin could have been raised to be a healthier person. There was another point that I wanted to make real quick, which is also kind of a bit of a teeny tiny tangent, but that the relationship between Master and Padawan and the Padawan's attachment to the Master, I mean, there's also, of course, the Master's attachment to the Padawan. And as I was thinking about this episode, I was thinking about an essay in the From a Certain Point of View compilation for Empire Strikes Back, which is told from the perspective of Force Ghost Obi-Wan, looking upon his life with regrets. And he recalls, you know, waking up in the middle of the night worried that Anakin doesn't know how to swim and should he teach him how to swim. And I think that the relationship between Obi-Wan and Anakin in particular, part of what makes it so good and so tragic is that their bond really was so deep on both sides. It wasn't like Anakin loved Obi-Wan more or the reverse. Like, they truly thought of each other as brothers in a way, kind of a big brother, little brother situation, since Obi-Wan was significantly older, but like a kind of mix between a father and a brother on both sides. And that ultimately Obi-Wan's attachment to Anakin is why he can't, you know, just kill Anakin outright and just leaves him to die there on the lava, which is then how we get Darth Vader. So I just think that's an interesting example of how the attachment can run both ways.
Absolutely. And you could make the argument that the danger is really more on the side of the experienced partner in the relationship, because, you know, Obi-Wan is the one with all the power. I mean, a Jedi apprentice cannot, you know, really get their master killed by failing to teach them things. But the master holds the apprentice's life in their hands. If they don't teach that kid what to do, how to go about being a Jedi and just being a person in the world, that could be a fatal error. And so there's a lot more responsibility there, which means that you could imagine them clinging more tightly to their Padawan than is perhaps the reverse. And you know, I'm now imagining that beyond the Anakin Obi-Wan situation. I mean, that has got to be a pervasive problem for Jedi across the Order in this time, and probably at any time in the history of the Republic, because they're being asked to take on these kids who are very powerful and thus probably to some degree temperamental, because they're confused and frustrated by not being masters of this power, and they have to mold them and shape them and discipline them. And there's this huge risk of what could go wrong. And, you know, not just for the Padawan, but if you fail to teach the Padawan how to behave properly, they could kill a lot of other people either accidentally or by being corrupted. So just that's sort of a sword of Damocles hanging over the head of every Jedi master. And, you know, I can imagine that really fueling this sense of responsibility to the Padawan, which in turn amplifies the attachment, amplifies the feeling of possessiveness of, I've got to make sure that I raise this kid right. I have to protect this kid. And obviously in the real world, we see that with parents not wanting to recognize that their kid has grown up and is now a full-fledged adult, because they will always think of them as that kid that they had to protect. Well, in Star Wars, where you add in the temptation of the dark side and the idea of possessiveness leading to fear and anger and suffering, that's a lot more dangerous in that situation from the perspective of the master. So yeah, I mean, there are risks on both sides there of that relationship.
For sure. Yeah, I think it's just so interesting because often automatically when we hear the prohibition against attachment, we look to romantic love because Padme and Anakin are kind of the central point and the breaking point from the movie's perspective. But I think it also extends to relationships between Padawans and masters, between friends, and even to some extent between Jedi and the clones who are under their supervision as well. It's really, the idea is that there's really any kind of relationship can be a danger zone, in the words of Kenny Loggins, because it could lead to being unwilling to continue the mission in favor of protecting the person whom you love. But I do think it's important to also talk about that ban on romantic love. And
can I briefly to wrap up the Obi-Wan thing, would we say that his failure to kill Anakin on Mustafar is an example of the danger of attachment? I mean, the idea that he seemingly could not bring himself to finish the job, is that, you know, obviously that leads to the original trilogy in a real sense. I mean, Palpatine, it's unclear how much he could have done without Vader, at least early on. Does that represent an example of that danger, that Obi-Wan thinks of Anakin still as his friend, albeit, you know, a fallen friend, and that seems to be part of why he does not finish the job?
Oh, I totally think so. I do, from that specific point of view, that the mission comes before all else. You need to eradicate the threat the best you can, then yeah, Obi-Wan fails, and it's because of his attachment. Like, if he were truly keeping to the mission, he would have ensured that Anakin was dead and gone, I think. But because he's so overcome with emotion, and I mean, the whole "you were my brother, I loved you," he's unable to kind of do that final blow. And even when he disables Anakin, he just, you know, cuts his limbs off. He doesn't go for the killing stroke, and he doesn't go for the killing stroke afterwards, when honestly it would not only be like the right thing to do from the perspective of eradicate the Sith threat, but also like maybe genuinely be the right ethical thing to do, because Anakin is burning on the ground in agony.
Like, yeah,
he's not gonna have a good quality of life hereafter, and he has also kind of ruined his life and seemingly fallen so completely that, I mean, arguably the morally right thing to do would have been to kill him on the lava beach. So yeah, I 100% think that from that perspective, Obi-Wan failed, and I think that's part of what continues to torment him as a character throughout the intervening media and then the original trilogy, is that he knows he failed not only in preventing Anakin from falling, but then also failing to contain the threat that would become Darth Vader.
Yeah, so it's like if you lava someone, set them free.
Oh, that was bad.
I was trying to think of a better transition to the next topic, but that I think works as well as any transition.
No, I'm glad you brought that up. And speaking of lava, romantic lava, I did want to talk about the kind of Jedi ban on marriage, and also it's kind of implied that they strongly frown upon any kind of romantic relationship short of marriage as well. Like, it's a bit more ambiguous on that front, and particularly when it comes to sex as well, but they generally seem to frown upon romantic monogamy. So I kind of want to dive into whether we think that was a fair rule that they had, or a right one, or, you know, for me, I think it went too far. But before I expound, I want to get your opinion on that first.
Well, I understand what they're going for, right? I mean, a theme of this episode so far is the idea that the mission comes first. And when you marry someone, you know, you're essentially pledging to do whatever it takes to protect them, right? You know, in sickness and in health, you know, you're pledging to be there for them. And I don't know how you can make that promise when you may be called upon to essentially sacrifice their life for the greater good, depending on the circumstances that you find yourself in. I mean, Anakin might very well have thought he was doing that to Padme on the gunship. We know she was fine, but he doesn't know. And so when you bring in this idea of a commitment of that order and that intimacy, I can understand the Jedi's concern about that. And to be honest, I don't know that I disagree with it. What I would say is, if you're gonna ban marriage, you need to allow for more casual forms of intimacy, because on a purely practical level, people have feelings for other people. And if they cannot be with that person in this committed way for the rest of their lives, they are going to want to at least be with that person, you know, every so often, you know, on a physical level, on an emotional level, whatever it is, something short of marriage. And it seems pretty clear at this point in the Jedi Order that they are not cool with that. As you said, not just marriage, but also strongly implied that other things are frowned upon too. So I would say I'm undecided. I'm open to arguments. I understand why they have problems with it. But if you're going to ban it, you have to allow an outlet for those feelings somehow.
I think that's a fair point. And I will freely admit that my opinion on this topic is colored by me being a romantic at heart, which is very annoying for me at times, but here we are. And, you know, I just think that in a lot of ways, romantic relationships aren't the most important relationships one can have, but when you have the right partner who makes you a better person, wouldn't it be better for the Jedi as a whole, arguably, if a Jedi was allowed to be with a partner who helps them understand the universe and the galaxy better, and maybe even the Force better? And an example that I had when I was thinking of, you know, potential healthy examples of relationships between Jedi and partner, because Anakin Padme is not a healthy relationship. But an example of a healthy relationship, I think, is in Rebels with Kanan and Hera, who, I mean, it's pretty much only implied that they're in a relationship in the first few seasons because it's a kids' show. And then it becomes explicit in the last season, right before he's going to die. Spoiler alert. But I think that they're a good example of a relationship that kind of makes Kanan a better person and also arguably a better Jedi by having a partner who is supportive of him. And of his efforts. And I think in general, just having the found family of the Ghost Crew also makes him a better person in Jedi, and especially the relationship with Ezra. And then, of course, Kanan is a really good example of being able to have all of that and still not have his love be possessive, but then be willing to let go and make the ultimate sacrifice when the time is needed. So I guess my main argument here is just that I feel like ultimately it is counter to the Jedi's interests to close off a path that could make their members better people in a certain way. And it, obviously, there is the very big risk of that love getting possessive and that attachment going too far. But again, if the Jedi were perhaps trained better, or even if they were trusted more by the Order instead of micromanaged, it wouldn't have to be as big of a problem. So that's just my two cents on that.
So I definitely see the value there. I guess if I were trying to imagine the concerns of the Jedi Order, you know, even highly trained Jedi, to the extent that they are not, you know, robots and that they have feelings, can fall for people who are bad influences on them. I mean, in Anakin's case, he was the problem. Padme was not a bad influence on him. He was just not prepared to be in a relationship. But you can easily imagine it being a problem on the other side, where the Jedi is noble and trying to do the right thing and sort of a good judge of character, except for when they have a weakness for a particular person who either deliberately or just implicitly, you know, draws them away from the teachings. And so then the question is, do you have the Jedi Council approve individual relationships? I mean, you're dealing with a large organization here. Do you have an all or nothing rule, or do you say, we will review your romantic pairings, and if we think that you're good for each other, you will be allowed to be in this relationship? I mean, that's a real question that they would have to address if they were asking us to be consultants on a new policy.
Yeah, just imagining, like, matchmaker Jedi, matchmaking Jedi Council. I mean, that's a good point, but then this just brings me to my belief, somewhat related, that the Jedi also needed good therapy rather than just like, hey, go meditate on it for a bit and everything will turn out fine. They should have had in place some kind of therapy outlet rather than just going to Master Yoda and being like, Master Yoda, I'm having feelings. And Yoda saying, well, you know, don't have those feelings and go meditate and you'll feel better. That's obviously a simplification. So that is a whole argument in and of itself, is that, you know, I think everyone should have therapy, and particularly the Jedi, which brings our discussion of a sci-fi fantasy story into somewhat of a silly zone, I worry. But no, that, I mean, that is a good point. And I don't think that it would be tenable to approve relationships on a case-by-case basis, because then that would just make Jedi even more mad. And then just to spite the council, be like, well, I'm going to be with this person who's terrible for me anyway, which would be an even faster path to the dark side. I just think that the Jedi, as an order, maybe expected too much of its members and didn't do enough to allow them to be people, because they have such lofty ideals and they have such great powers that I think there's a tendency to think that they needed to be above other people in always, instead of acknowledging that Jedi are people too with the same emotional struggles as everyone else. And I think that goes back to that really great quote that you quoted earlier, from High Republic books, about how, yeah, we're human, or, you know, not human, people. We're people and we have emotions, but the importance is not letting those emotions rule us. So I don't know, that's a very all over the place answer, but I just think that they went too hard with this.
Well, and to go back to the High Republic for a moment, just because it's on my mind, because it's the dominant storytelling project in publishing right now. There is, you know, there is a Jedi who, you know, it's established that when he was a Padawan, he had a fling with another Padawan. And as an adult, he has a one night stand in one of the books and sort of realizes afterwards that it was not necessarily the best use of his time for various reasons. He took his eye off the ball, let's put it that way. But the order of this time, 200 years before the prequels, looks a lot more like what I would describe as the right set of policies, in that they don't seem to prohibit sexual relationships and emotional connections in general. There's a scene where, you know, somebody, a Padawan, is explaining the Jedi to somebody, and this other person says, okay, so that means no sex. And the Padawan is thinking, should I explain the whole difference at the Jedi Order between, quote, celibacy of the body and true purity of the heart, unquote. And it's this idea that there's a difference between being intimate with somebody either physically or emotionally or whatever, and sort of giving them your heart, if you will, compromising a part of your judgment or your clarity by sort of tying yourself to another person in an absolute way. In other words, not a conditional relationship, but I will be there for you no matter what. And that is, I think, where the order of 200 years prior has a problem. They are all about true purity of the heart. They are not the, you know, celibacy of the body people, at least not at this point 200 years prior. And this is throughout these books. I mean, one of the Jedi says, you know, we're not droids and we shouldn't be droids because we're connected to the Force and we have to experience the good, you know, joy and affection, but also the bad. And she specifically cites grief, and she's talking to a Padawan who has lost his master. And she's saying, yeah, you is natural for you to think about your master and to miss working with him. And so we acknowledge that we have that pain. And then she says, but at a certain point, you know, you have to let go of that, because if you hold on to it forever, it's going to fester. And so you can sort of see that at this point in the history of the Order, they've got a better sense of where to draw that line. And I think over time, the Order kind of forgets where to draw that line.
Yeah, I really think, again, this ties into our discussion last time when we were talking about why the Jedi Order broke. And I think that this is a big part of it, is that they forgot that nuance and allowed themselves to fall into very rigid patterns without thinking about the inherent messiness that is life and emotions and feelings that everyone is going to feel, Jedi or not. And so I think that is a big part of why they ended up failing in the end. And this problem with attachment and whether they were too strict on that is just emblematic of the greater problems that the Jedi had as a whole by the time of the sequel era. You, in our show notes, you mentioned a really interesting question, which is what would have happened with Anakin if he hadn't had to keep his relationship with Padme a secret? Or I think a corollary to that question is, what could have happened if he didn't keep it a secret? Like, if, yeah, it was still, the relationship was still banned, but he confessed to Obi-Wan or whomever and asked for help. You know, what would have happened if this sort of unhealthy attachment wasn't allowed to fester in the dark, but instead was allowed to be discussed and come to terms under the light? So I do want to get your thoughts on that.
So first, I think if the rules were the same, but he confessed, I actually think Sidious still wins, because I think in that situation, they would essentially take Anakin off of frontline duty. They would say, we can't trust you. We appreciate that you admitted this, but you do still have this connection. It's just as dangerous as it would be if you had been keeping it a secret, and we're worried, and so we're going to put you on library duty. And I think that ultimately takes you to the same place of Anakin resenting the Jedi Order, resenting their lack of trust in him. And I think that ultimately will still send him to Sidious. Now, if he didn't have to keep it a secret because it wasn't frowned upon, that's a whole different situation. Because then, whatever problems he has with Padme, either directly with her or, you know, visions through the Force of her dying or whatever, he can go to other people and talk about that because he's not afraid. And he can talk to Yoda, right? He can get Yoda's advice about these visions. And as you said, in the movie, he can't really talk about exactly what he's feeling, and so Yoda's advice is not very helpful. If Yoda understood the true nature of those fears, and if Anakin were able to talk more openly about them, I think Yoda might have been able to help him better. I think he might have been able to give Anakin better guidance about what to seek as you dive into the Force. Also, if this weren't prohibited, Yoda might have had examples of other couples out there, or from the history of the Jedi, to whom Anakin could look as a model. Part of this is we don't know how much of that vision is specifically just Sidious messing with Anakin, which we know was happening to some degree, versus have other Jedi in the past also had nightmares about losing people they love, which I think is sort of, it's natural to assume that that was the case. So Yoda could say, hey, look, these people in the past had to go through something similar. This is how that Jedi overcame that, right? And so the ability to be more open, it just opens more doors. We don't know what would have happened, but I think it's reasonable to say it gives Anakin more healthy options for addressing the situation, and that ultimately is able to keep him away from Sidious and also boost his trust in the Jedi if Yoda can actually help him, which in turn makes Palpatine's attempts to say, they don't trust you, work for me, less effective.
I mostly agree with that. My only minor point of contention is that I think that if Anakin had just told Obi-Wan about his relationship with Padme and not, Yoda or someone else, that Obi-Wan probably would have kept the secret and tried to help him, because it is heavily implied throughout that Obi-Wan has a very good idea of what's going on, but
yeah,
because Anakin hasn't asked for his help specifically, he isn't really offering it. And I think that Obi-Wan probably would have helped him and Padme and helped him try to figure out what was going on, and that I think could have ruined Sidious's plan. And that, again, also might be a question of, is Obi-Wan too connected to Anakin if he is willing to keep the secret?
Yeah, over? That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we don't know the answer, because that's not what happened. But I do think that is an interesting corollary to what we were talking about previously with Obi-Wan being too attached to Anakin. As to Anakin, Padme, if their relationship had been permitted and had been allowed to grow out in the open, yeah, I think you're right. I think it probably would have made a big difference. And I think part of that, too, would be, as you said, in part because the Jedi Order would just be structured differently and would handle these questions differently and with an eye to the past and to previous relationships, because it would just be allowed instead of completely forbidden. So, yeah, I think that a big part of why Palpatine's plan works, it really relies on the rigidity of the Jedi Order. In this case in specific, his plan really does rely on Anakin having to keep his relationship a secret, because if it were out in the open, then I don't think that it would have been the same outcome at all.
And it sort of raises the funny idea of Obi-Wan being a covert marriage counselor for Anakin, where he's got to help Anakin solve his problems, but neither of them can tell any other Jedi exactly what they're doing. And I can just imagine that Obi-Wan would not have had the best time with that.
Oh, no. Yeah. I think that Anakin, in general, just definitely gave Obi-Wan a few ulcers, and that this would just add to the collection of ulcers from dealing with all of Anakin's shenanigans.
Oh, absolutely.
Is there anything else you would like to mention on attachments in general, how the Jedi handled it, before we wrap this up?
Just that I think the Jedi of the High Republic have the right idea, that it's all about keeping your eye on the ball, and there are ways to open your heart up without compromising that focus.
Yeah, I haven't read the High Republic books. I've really been meaning to. There are just too many books to read in the world, but you have definitely convinced me that I should read them. So if nothing else, let this episode serve as an advertisement for the High Republic books and their very interesting conception of what being a Jedi means.
Yeah, and by the way, if anyone out there thinks we've missed something, or we're off base about something, or if you have another idea for how the Jedi could have formulated a better policy in the prequel era, that's the kind of thing where we'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to hear, you know, what the ideal policy is here. What did we not consider as we sort of broke down, you know, what this should and should not look like? So, you know, please do send that our way.
Indeed. Beyond, you know, whether the Jedi healthcare plan should have also covered therapy. All right. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to share your thoughts about this episode, or again, talk to us more about what you think about the Jedi and detachment, or suggest topics for future shows, you can email us at hothtakes@gmail.com or find us on Twitter @hothtakes. I'm @Grace_Seegers on Twitter, Eric is @EricGeller, and Haley is @Burdenator. Haley made the incredible logo and banner art, and Eric edited the show and put together our music. Although for legal purposes, we should note that all Star Wars themes and sound effects are the intellectual property of Lucasfilm. You can find a complete archive of past episodes on our website, hothtakes.wordpress.com. If you like the show, share it with a friend. Just tell them to subscribe on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or Stitcher. My boyfriend listens to it on Pocket Cast, so apparently you can find it on Pocket Cast too. Any major podcast platform, really. We'll see you next time. May the Force be with you.